2, looking at those final two verses, 28 to 29, and then 1 John 3, 1 to 10.
Beginning at verse 28, chapter 2. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself, just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother.
Thank you. Okay, let's stand together and sing our next song, Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. Let's stand together and sing this wonderful hymn.
Pray.
keep your Bibles open. That passage which we're going to be looking at this morning, end of 1 John 2, beginning of 1 John 3. Title for this morning's service is purely just Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. If you like Narnia, you'll know that, is it Peter? It's called Peter the Magnificent. Is that right? King Peter the Magnificent. Well, today, Jesus the Magnificent, who's far greater than Peter the Magnificent, stands with one foot in the Old Testament, one foot in eternity past, which we can't really get our heads around. And he stands with one foot in the New Testament, in the here and the now, reaching right into eternity to come. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author of creation, the creator of the world, the hope for all mankind, Jesus the Magnificent. Think about him for a minute. And Jesus says to you this morning, and he says to me, he says, do you want to be family with me? Do you want to be a child of God? Have you ever been in this situation? You've been stood on a jetty with one foot on the jetty and the other on the boat. Have you ever been in that situation? And the person on the boat says, come on, hurry up, get in the boat, you're going to get in. And then the boat starts to drift a little bit from the jetty. And it gets wider and wider and you're getting lower and lower and the water's getting nearer and nearer. And then 1 minute later, into the water you go. Have you ever seen that happen? My father-in-law likes to go punting on the Thames in Oxford. And last year, he got his punt stuck, his punting stick, and the boat started drifting. And instead of letting go in the punting stick, he held onto the stick and ended up going into the soup. A very good friend of mine, who is not sitting too far away from us, once in Whitby, had one foot on the boat and one foot on the jetty, and it got wider and wider and... Oh, was it you doing it? Yeah. Splosh into the water. It was not a nice place to be. And it isn't a nice place to be stuck in the middle of those two things. But are you stood today with one foot in the world and one foot in Jesus' world, trying to straddle those two worlds today? You know, John's desire was that people, and especially a follower of Jesus, should love Jesus, love God as they should. He wanted people to know how precious they are to God. But he wanted us to also know how precious Jesus is to us and how vital he is to our lives. He wanted to see us loving Jesus as we should, and that love filling our hearts and making a real difference to us. And that's why he says here in verse 28, he says, and now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. He wants us to be ready. He wants us to be ready when Jesus returns, and he will return. And then he goes on, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. He tests us. He questions us. What are we doing? Are we ready? Are we doing the things that we should be doing? Is the Spirit of Christ consuming our lives? Are we filled with that Spirit? So let's see what John has to say to us throughout the rest of this passage this morning. I want us to look at three things, three titles. Number one, we are family. Number two, we are sinners. And number three, we are saved by grace. I abbreviated these, and I didn't know that Alan had done a wow, and you did a wow, because when I started putting some points down on Monday, we are family. That is a wow moment. Wow. We are sinners. That's an ow. That's not so good. And we're saved by grace, which is a woohoo if you're American, or woo if you're English. Okay? But we are family. Look at this with me, verses 1 through 3. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Isn't that wonderful? That first verse is amazing. It makes you want to say, wow, even from me and my reformed background with my arms down by my side as I sing, I want to go, wow, that's amazing news. The Father's love is so great for us that he wants us to be called children of God, family with God. You know, in fact, God's love is so amazing. He has lavished it upon us, it says in the passage there. Lavished. Now, lavish means given in abundant way, in a generous way, in an extravagant way, a way over the top way. God loves us so greatly that his love overflows to us in an abundant way. It just never stops. It just keeps coming, washing over us, on and on and on, never stopping. Incredible when you think about that. That's how much he loves us. It's an amazing truth. It's an incredible truth. And I love the way that John emphasizes this. He says, and that's what you are. You're loved, lavishly loved. That's what you are, children of God. Wonderful. Because you are his children. You are his family. You are related to him, God, the author and the perfecter of all that you see. And because we are, we should therefore live and love in a different way to the world. We should think in a different way. Our lives should be shaped and modeled by the love of God. Our thoughts and our desires should be influenced by our love for God. Our whole persona should be different and contrasting to the world's ways. And that's why John says this: the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The world didn't know Jesus when he was here. They saw him, but they did not know him. But we're to be like our Savior. The world didn't recognize him. They didn't see him as God. His ways were contrary to their expectations of what a God should be like. God coming as a man? God coming as a real human being? God coming and not destroying our enemies? God coming and giving us a hard time? We're God's chosen people. We're the special ones. And they were. That was so clearly brought out last week. But you know, they'd forgotten what God's chosen people were meant to be. And you know, it's the same for us today. We don't have to always look back. Look at ourselves. Look at the world we live in. We and people can refuse to recognize who Jesus was too. Refuse to recognize who Jesus actually is. But they don't want a God like that, do they? And sometimes we don't want a God like that. Sometimes people look and say, yes, he was a good man. He did nice things. He helped lots of people. But it's not the kind of God that I want. Because I want my life to be my own. I want to make my own decisions, thank you very much. I want to be the maker of my own destiny. You can just keep your Jesus, thank you. He's a good fella, but he's not for me. Bill Bygraves wrote this smashing song, and in one of the verses he says, who is this man Christ Jesus? A good man, did they say? Just another man from history? We boldly answered, nay. He is creator of the world. By him it all began. Eternal Son of God is he, yet he became a man. That should be our response to anybody who says, well, Jesus, well, he was just another man. Yeah, he had a few special gifts, but he was just another man. No, he wasn't. The answer is nay. No, he was not just another man. He is the eternal Son of God, made man. But you know, we should take comfort in this fact. The world didn't recognize Jesus. So why would they recognize us? The Son of God walked among them. They didn't recognize him. Why on earth would they recognize us? When we tell people about our Savior, some people will think that you're mad. They'll think you're crazy. And some things you say will offend people. Some things that you say will cause people to attack you and mock you. But despite all of that, despite the fact that the world will refuse to recognize you as they refuse to recognize Jesus as Savior and Lord, despite that fact, you are recognized as being a child of God because you are. And as John says, that's what you are. You are a child of God. I don't know if you saw in the news last week, there were some Christians who fought in the European courts to uphold their human rights, their rights to uphold some of their Christian beliefs. One lady who worked for British Airways was sacked, and she won her case to be able to wear her little cross. It was only about so big. Did you see that? She won her case. But there was three other Christians who lost their cases. One lady's cross was slightly bigger, and she was told that she couldn't wear that in the hospital because it was unhygienic. She wasn't allowed to wear her cross. In fact, this is quite amusing, under new health and safety regulations, apparently they're looking at ways to stop people wearing crosses because it's unsafe. I'm thinking, well, it's not 6 foot high and 4 foot wide. Yeah, I need to drag it across the ward as I go and do my job. We're not talking about a cross like that. But that lady lost her case. And then there were two other people that lost their cases because they refused to work in situations that they felt were contrary to their faith. And Europe deemed that they were wrong to do so. So they lost their cases. But you know, the big issue is this, and it's very relevant to what we're saying here. The world doesn't recognise nor respect their beliefs, as it doesn't respect their Saviour. So therefore we should not lose heart when we seem to be under attack for being children of God. You are. And one day it will be made known to all of those who doubt you when you talk about your relationship with God. It will be. Back to verse 2 again. Dear friends, now we are children of God, he reminds us, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is made pure. Read that again. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. There will come a day when Jesus will appear. All shall see him. And on that day, every single knee shall bow, with no exception. Everyone shall bow. And for those who loved him, who truly loved him, we shall become like him. It's a crazy thought. John says that he says that what we shall be like has not yet been made known. Certainly hasn't. Not by a long shot. Because we know him now. We do know him. We're in a relationship. We know that we're a child of his. But the reality of that will be something so incredible, it's going to blow our minds. It's going to be unbelievable. We shall be like Jesus. We shall think and speak like Jesus. Just thinking like him will be something revolutionary, glorious. We shall love like him. Won't that be great? What a day that will be. But let's be reminded, everyone who hopes for this will purify himself. The hope that you'll be made like Christ in the new world will purify you, and it will guard you, and it will increase your love in your hearts. And at that moment, or at the moment now, today, all of us have a very foggy, hazy perspective of what that is going to be like. We really do. We don't know what it's going to be like. You know, we've had a lot of foggy mornings recently, haven't we? And it's better in summertime when you wake up and it's a foggy day. But the fog disappears quite quickly when the sun comes out. And the warmth of the sun, it comes out and it burns the fog away. We see like that now. We see through this pea soup fog. But when the sun rises, that fog will be burnt away. And the whole perspective will become clear and we'll see the reality, the truth of it all, for real. That's what it'll be like. It'll be amazing. So if we hang on to that hope which purifies us, so shall the glory of this truth be revealed to us. We are family with this amazing God. We are children of Christ, children of God. But point two, we are sinners. This is the ouch bit. Ow. Look at this with me. Verse 4. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. You know, we're children of God if we love Jesus as Saviour and Lord. But we're also sinners. We are. You might be thinking, oh, JP, don't have to rub it in. You don't have to rub in the fact that I am a sinner this morning. I know exactly what I am. I know that I'm a sinner. Don't tell me the obvious. You don't have to emphasise it. I know. Perfectly well. Have you ever had a really bad hair day, any of you? Yes. I have plenty of them, although it's becoming less of a problem in certain parts of my head. I'm not as bad as you. You're quite right, Gary, but I'm getting there. But you wake up in the morning and you look like your head's been run over by a bus. Or you've put half of your body into a plug socket and half of your head's got electrified. You know what I mean? So you go into the bathroom and you get the water on. This is just men. Obviously, it takes a lot longer for ladies. But you're flying in, you get the water on and you get it flat down as best you can and you think, that's not so bad. And you go out 10 minutes later, quick glance in the mirror, and it's sprung up again. Oh, dear me, you know. Anyway, you go to church or you go to work, and the first person you see comes up to you and say, "Oh, having a bad hair day then?" "Thanks, thank you, yes. Yeah." And the next person comes up to you, you know, "Looks like you slept funny then." "Yeah, very funny. Yeah, thank you." The next person comes up, he said, "I had a fight with the pillow last night, did you?" "No, but I'll be having a fight with you if you don't push off, I can tell you." Forget that. You know what you look like, and it's embarrassing. You don't need anybody highlighting the fact of what you are, because you know. You looked in the mirror and you saw yourself, and you know you're having a bad hair day. Sometimes, for some people, their hair may be perfect, and when they look in the mirror, they just see a bad hair day. Do you know what I mean? All you see is bad hair. When we look at our lives in the mirror, sometimes, apart from Satan, the worst critic we have is ourselves. Is that not right? You look at yourself and you go, "I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. I'm this, I'm that. How am I going to get out of this rut I'm in now?" You're the biggest critic. And the face you're looking at is looking back just scowling at you. It's not a nice place to be. You know, we are sinners. We need to put our hands up to the fact, but you know, you don't have to hang on to those sins. You don't have to hang on to the guilt that riddles you because of those sins. You can let all of those things go. You know, John isn't saying here, you're a sinner, you break God's law and you're wicked, and because of that you can't be in God's family. He's not saying that. He isn't saying until you stop sinning, then that's you out of the family. Nor does Jesus say that to you either. Because who apart from our Saviour Jesus has never sinned? None of us. He says no. Who doesn't sin? But despite that, you can be free from guilt. You can be free from sin to love as you should love. You can be free of all that to love your neighbour as you should, to love God as you should. And that's what you need to do. That's the law. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse 14 and on, he says this about struggling with sin. He says, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual. So as a slave to sin, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate to do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, but I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it's sin living in me that does it." You can hear Paul really struggling with that, can't you? Struggling with his own sins, struggling with his own problems and his own doubts, struggling with the things he wish he could do, but he can't do. I don't know about you, but I can fully understand that. I can fully understand that. But he goes on, "So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members." Do you see what he's saying? It's the same as John. He said, "I desire to do good. I want to live in this law and follow this law. But even when I try to do good, evil walks with me." John recognizes that sin's work is Satan's work. And when we sin, we're then doing his work. That's what we're doing. But Paul also is in a mess, struggling with his own sinful self right here. Paul's also in a battle, just like you and me. Paul's also a sinner, just like you and me. So what does he do? Look here with me, verse 24 and 5. "What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Isn't that wonderful? There's our rescuer. He calls out to the one who can rescue him from this sinful condition. "Jesus the Magnificent, save me. Save me from the condition I'm in." He accepts what he is. "Yes, I'm a sinner. I'm in conflict with you, Lord, but please rescue me, Jesus. You know, if you're a child of God this morning, you don't want to sin, do you? I don't want to sin. But we just can't help ourselves. But what we can do is this. We can develop and grow a spirit and an attitude towards our sin, where we battle against it. And you know, that's the proof of our fellowship with Him. Do we accept the first truth that we're sinners? Do we then accept the truth that Jesus came to take away our sins? Do we accept those truths? John says, but you know that He appeared so that He might take away our sins. And in Him is no sin. Jesus takes away our sins. You know, if we're in Jesus, if we're a child of God, when Christ returns, this is great. The most wonderful thing will be that when Jesus returns, there'll be no sin found in us at all. Clean. No blemish of sin. The sins that you struggle with, the sins that you've tried not to do, they'll all be gone. Never to be brought back again. Not even by you, who wants to drag your sins back in again. Our attitude must be one of, yes, I'm a sinner, but oh, help me, Lord. Help me. Not let's indulge in these sins. Let's live life to the full, no matter what. Not, well, He'll forgive me anyway because I'm under grace. It's not living like that. That's walking in fellowship with the devil. And that is not the way to that salvation. John said, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Point three, saved by grace. Woohoo! Hey, Kat. Great news. Verse 9, no one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. How many right things do we have to do to get right with God? Anybody? How many? 50? 100? More? There is no number that you can count that will count up to the amount that you need to do to get right with God. There is no number. There's nothing that we can do which will enable us to earn the title children of God. No matter how many good things you've done, because you are saved by grace alone. Grace is God lavishing His love upon us. Lavishing us with love in that abundant, God-like way. The only way that God can do it, we can't do it like Him. Grace is a love that we do not deserve, but it's a love that He gives to us. That's grace. That love is the only thing that can bring reconciliation between God and man, between Him and us. Grace is all about reconciliation, making things right. Grace is not about us. It's not about anything we can do. It's all about Him. We can't earn a place in God's family. It's what He's done to enable us to be part of that family. Let me show you something. Let me tell you something. Have you ever been to the beach with your family or with friends and you decide to do a long jump competition? So you draw a line and you run and start doing your jumps and you're measuring and getting further each time. Yes? Anybody done that on the beach? Well, who's Greg Rutherford? Anybody know who Greg Rutherford is? Who? Gold medalist. The gold medal long jumper. Yes? Well, Mr. Greg Rutherford, okay. But now, who thinks he's a really good jumper in the room? Anybody? There was little Joe. Oh, you think you're a good jumper? Go on, Graham. No. Where's little Joe? Where's little Joe? He's our superhero. Is he not here? Come on, Joe. Come and stand over here. Stand at the end of here. Right? Mr. Greg Rutherford, our Olympic gold medalist. Okay? Stand down there. Just tell me when how far you think he jumped. Put your foot on the end of you. Just hold it there. Put you there. How long do you think he jumped, Joe? Whew, getting long now. Remember, he's not a kangaroo. He's a human being. About where back? You think he jumped to there?
Yeah.
No. Do you think he jumped further? Yeah. Think he jumped to here? You think he jumped to here?
No, I think he jumped further.
What, further than this? Oh, my tape measure stopped. Couldn't have gone further than my tape measure, could he? No. Let's put that there. Well, he did. He did. That's 8 metres, that is. Mr. Greg Rutherford, and he's a human being, remember, he's not a kangaroo. He jumped to there. Where I'm stood here. Look at that. That's unbelievable, isn't it? Honestly, when you actually look at it, that's incredible. But do you know, have you heard of a guy called Carl Lewis?
Yes. Yeah.
Carl Lewis, he jumped further than that. He jumped to here. Look at that. He jumped to there. Hey, look at that. That's incredible, isn't it? 8 meters, 73. But there's a guy called Powell who jumped even further than that. The world record holder jumped to here. He jumped to there, nearly 9 meters long. Look at that. Do you want to have a go, Joe? You don't think you'll manage it? Just stand in the middle of that. Look at that. That's. I don't think I'd manage that. If I practiced a bit, do you think I'd do it?
Trampoline.
Yeah, we haven't got a trampoline, have we? That's incredible. Look at the distance of that. A human being jumped that far. One man has only jumped that far to the very, very end. Nobody else, just one man. Okay, thank you, Joe. You can sit down. That's an incredible distance, isn't it? Do you think if we practiced and we practiced and we practiced, we'd be able to jump that far? Never. You couldn't do it. But do you know, the gap from there to there is nothing compared to the gap between us and God. Nothing. Even if we practiced and we practiced, we would not get anywhere near. The gulf between us and God is actually far vaster, far further than that. If we just imagined that it was that, okay, for 1 minute, we're stood over there and God stood over there, there is nothing you can do physically to get from him, to get from where you are, to get to where he is. But you know who stands in the middle of this gap? Jesus Christ stands in the middle of this gap, and he stands nailed to a cross in the middle of this gap, and he stretches his arms out to you on that side. He says, I love you. I'm going to carry you, and I'm suffering here. All this pain and all this torture, and I don't care. I'm going to carry you and all your sins. I'm going to lift you through the air. More than 8 meters, 97. And I'm going to carry you all the way down here to my Heavenly Father. Safe into the promised land that I promised to you. This man here in the middle loves you that much that he will stretch his arms out from his place of torture and carry you over that gulf to heaven. Isn't that amazing? And there's nothing you can do to span that gap. You need him. And he loves you that much that he will do that for you. What a wonderful Saviour we have. What a wonderful Saviour we have. Friends, it's only grace that will enable you to get from there to there. And grace is a man. Grace is a man, and his name is Jesus Christ. And he stands in that gap, and he carries all of our sins and all of our pain. There's nothing we can do to earn a place in that family. It's by grace alone that Jesus enables us to become children of God. So because we've been saved by grace, and at such a great price, shouldn't we actually respond by giving him our all? Not so that we can earn anything, because we can't earn the right, but just because we love him, because of what he's done for us. Don't you think it's also incredible that God actually wants to be your friend and my friend? Don't you think that's incredible? Don't you think it's truly remarkable he wants to make it right with us? Because we do so many things that would cause him to turn his face against us. I'm sure there's many people, there'll be some people here that some folks don't want anything to do with, they don't like you. Sure, that's the same for me. But you know, whatever we've done to offend another person, what another person's done to offend us is nothing compared to what we've done to offend God. But he wants to make it right with you and me. It's incredible. God, who we offend and we scorn, God, who we continue to reject every single day with the things that we do, says, come to me. Come and receive my grace. Be reconciled to me. Be my child and be forgiven. And I will forget as well. That's a remarkable fact about God. Have any of you seen the Adam Sandler film, 50 First Dates? Seen that? Great film. In that film, there's a guy called 10 Second Tom. Have you seen 10 Second Tom? This is 10 Second Tom.
Hello, my name's Tom. Nice to see you. Nice to see you. I like your jacket today. What are you doing today? Hello, my name's 10 Second Tom. It's good to see you today. It's lovely outside, isn't it? Oh, it's a bit snowy, but, you know, I hope we'll still have a good time. Hello, my name's 10 Second Tom. How are you? You get the picture? 10 Second Tom. What a world to live in. Can I tell you? God, when he hears us say, "Forgive me, Lord," doesn't forgive you in 10 seconds. He forgives you in a millisecond. It is gone immediately. And it's immediately gone because of grace, because of where Jesus stood in the centre of that gap, because of what he took upon himself. If we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, if we determine to live a new life in him, then we've been saved by grace. And our sins are forgiven and forgotten. And from that moment, we will be new people, new creations, adopted into God's new family. Turn with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 15. This is a remarkable passage. The Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God, who reconciled the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We're therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It's an amazing passage. My friends, if we are these new creations, we are therefore Christ Jesus' ambassadors. And that means we should live like our glorious Saviour. We should live like God's glorious Son, the Son who carries us to his Father, the Son who took upon himself all of our sins, the Son who died in our place. Live for him. We should be rid of our old selves. By his grace we can be, but only by his grace. Let's remind ourselves, though, of what John said back in verse 10. He said, "This is how we know we are children of God. Know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." There's the challenge. None of us can do right all the time. None of us. Not even the best of us. It's impossible. But we can love our brothers. We can. Jesus taught that he is our brother, taught us that he's our brother. We should love him first. But he also taught us that all people, friends and enemies, are our brothers too. He told us to go and love likewise. You know, if you're a child of God, the proof is seen in how you love your brother. You know, yesterday when we got together, it was a wonderful time of fellowship. It really, really was. The Lord was with us. And the body of Christ came together with one mind. And that's just the start, really, for us as we move forward. But you know, what shined through was this challenge for me. How do we love our brothers? How do we love those people we rub shoulders with day by day? How do we love those who we come into contact with in this community? How do we enable them to know this grace that we're talking about this morning? That's what shined through. To do that, we need Jesus the Magnificent, because only he can help us do these things. Only him. So let's tell the world how great this grace is that we've experienced for ourselves. Again, just to close, Romans 6, the Apostle Paul says, What shall I say? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. We may live a new life. But down to verse 14, for sin shall not be your master, because you're not under the law, but under grace. Jesus takes us wretched people that we are. And he enables us to look in the mirror and he makes us see a free, new creation born into the likeness of him. You are a child of God because of Jesus' blood. That's what you are. Thank God for Jesus. Let's just close in prayer. Father, we thank you for your wonderful Son. We thank you for the love that you've poured out upon us. We thank you that you forgive us and you're merciful towards us. We just pray, Lord, that you'd help us be the people we need to be to glorify you here on earth, Lord. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and sing this next wonderful song. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. Let's stand together. Father, we just thank you that you are such a marvellous God, an unfathomable God. But we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your precious Son, the Lord Jesus. And we thank you for the relationship we can have with him. Father, we thank you that you have drawn us to yourself. And we thank you, Father, for the saving faith you give to us. Pray, Father, that through this church, through this ministry, there'd be many people come to know and love you truly as their Lord and Saviour. Pray, Lord, that you would forgive us if we ever do anything that would harm that cause, but we just pray that despite our failings and our sinfulness, you would enable us to glorify your name. Pray that you would give us spirits that would be searching to love others and care for others. Pray that you'd help us to love you more as we seek to do that. Lord, we thank you for these little children here this day, and we pray that your hand would be upon them all. Pray that you would keep them safe in this generation that seeks to turn people's faces against yourself. We pray that you would draw them to yourself. And as they hear something of your love for them through Sunday school, through the way that they're loved and cared for and protected, we pray that they would really come to know and love you in their early years. We thank you for the great encouragement they are to us here. So be with us now, Lord, we pray. Amen. Going to stand and sing these next two songs, Abba Father and Father God, I Wonder, and then Tim's going to do the children's talk. Kat's doing the children's talk. Just testing there. Again. Okay, let's stand together.